بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected listeners, Allah has blessed us with the examples of Sahaba رضي الله تعالى عنهم. There was the Sahabi Sa'ad bin Malik bin Sinan. Sa'ad bin Malik bin Sinan Al-Ansari Al-Khazraji رضي الله تعالى عنهم. He was known as Abu Sa'id. Abu Sa'id. Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri. Al-Khudri. He was from the Khudra tribe. Al-Khudri. His mother's name was Unaysa binti Abi Haritha رضي الله تعالى عنها. Unaysa رضي الله تعالى عنها. And his brother who shared the same mother with him was a famous Sahabi by the name Qatada bin Nu'man. Qatada bin Nu'man. And his sister from mother and father was a Sahabiya by the name of Furay'a. Furay'a. This is a beautiful name. A Sahabiya radiallahu anha. Furay'a binti Malik radiallahu anhum. His father was a great warrior of Islam. And he was famous with many aspects of his life, especially on the occasion of Uhud, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was injured and blood was oozing from his blessed face. And the Sahabi takes permission and he licks the blood of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to clean the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But not did he spit it out, but what did he do? He swallowed the Mubarak blood from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wounds. من أحب أن ينظر إلى من خالط دمي دمه فلينظر إلى هذا وأشار صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أبي. Allah's Nabi said, if you want to see a man whose blood is mixed with mine, look at this individual, look at this person. That was on the occasion of Uhud. But actually, his father, Malik bin Sinan رضي الله تعالى عنه, was a great personality. Abu Sa'id رضي الله عنه says, I heard my father Malik bin Sinan say that I have just been to Banu Abd al-Ashhal, one region, one vicinity in Medina, to speak to them. And we were actually in a truce from warfare. But I heard Yusha' al-Yahudi, Yusha' Joshua, the Jew, say, أَظَلَّ خُرُوجُ نَبِيٍّ يُقَالُ لَهُ أَحْمَدٍ. The time of the arrival of the final Nabi has come close, whose name is Ahmad. He will come from the Haram. So Khalifa bin Sa'laba al-Ashhali mockingly said, what is his descriptions? So he describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَجُلٌ لَيْسَ بِقَصِيرٍ وَلَا بِالطَّوِيلٍ فِي عَيْنَيْهِ حُمْرًا يَلْبَسُ الشَّمْلَ وَيَرْكَبُ الْحِمَارِ سَيْفُهُ عَلَى عَاتِقِ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدُ مُهَاجَرُهُ. He described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was not short. He'll be moderately tall. He wouldn't be gigantically tall. There'll be some red lines in his eye. He will wear the shawl. He will also ride the donkey. He would use the sword. And he will migrate to Medina Munawwara. And few descriptions like this. So this was Malik bin Sinan, who actually heard this from them. Malik bin Sinan said that I then went to my people, the Banu Khudra. And I was astonished. And I was saying, this was Yusha. What was Yusha saying? And then also, I got to know that all the Jews of Yathrib were saying the same thing. All the Jews of Yathrib were also speaking about the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah says, then my father proclaimed that I then went to Banu Qurayza. And I found a gathering there. And they were discussing the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Zubair bin Bata said, فَطَّلَعَ الْكَوْكَبُ الْأَحْمَرِ. The red star that was not to appear in the universe except on the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that star has also appeared. The only Nabi of Allah to come is Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the land to which he will migrate to. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu says, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina Munawwara, my father informed him of this information, of this incident. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Zubayr and the likes of him from the leaders and the senior Jews were to embrace Islam, how many would have followed him they would have also take effect from him. But it was their jealousy that they knew of the arrival of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they turned it down because of malice and rancor in their hearts. Sa'id radiallahu anhu loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madina Munawwarah, himself and his father were both, and his entire family were very early in embracing the truth and being close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu would always be near the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is known as among the virtuous Sahaba radiallahu anhum, but it's reported also that لم يكن أحد من أحداث الصحابة أفقه منه. From the junior Sahaba, there was no one who had a deeper understanding or who was greater in ilm than Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was among the famous Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he was also among Ahl al-Suffah. And he loved the poor. He bore patiently, he made patience and made sabr in life, hoping for Allah's reward, and he remained close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to learn so much. So he is known as one of the scholars of Madina Munawwara. He lived his life serving deen, striving for Allah's way. Full upbringing he had. On the occasion of Badr, he was too young, Uhud as well. On the occasion of Uhud, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him back from an area called Shikhin, amongst other youth who wanted to participate, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not permit them. And after the expedition, when the Muslims had been through a great loss, difficulty, challenges, the news comes to Medina Munawwara of how the Muslims have been afflicted. And among the people who were made shaheed in Uhud was Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu's father. So Abu Sa'id with some other youth from Banu Khudra, they come before the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the objective of seeing if he is okay, to bring news, to return with the news to their families about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as they come on this, before they reach Uhud, they find the Muslims coming back, and they find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum in this condition of weakness and difficulty. Him and other friends of his, with innocent, pure eyes, they're looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sees Abu Sa'id and says, Sa'ad bin Malik. He says, yes, O Nabi of Allah, bi abi wa ummi anta ya Rasulullah. May my parents be sacrificed for you, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he calmly comes in front of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his conveyance, and Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu was on foot. He comes there and he kissed the blessed knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu looked at the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his cheeks were badly wounded, and there was a fracture and a wound on Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's forehead where the hair starts in the usul al-sha'r. His lower lip was bleeding. His teeth were chipped and broken, and there were black patches on Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wounds all around his body. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu asks someone else, what is this? So he gets the information that this is a straw mat that was burnt to stop the blood. Then he asked, who caused Allah's Nabi to bleed on Allah's Nabi's cheeks? He was told it was Ibn al-Qami'ah. Who fractured Allah's Nabi's face and his forehead? He was told it was Ibn Shihab. Who injured my Nabi's lips? He was told it was Utbah bin Abi Waqqas. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu is running behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see how is Allah's Nabi. He then finally reaches the door of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Allah's Nabi was being carried off the conveyance and being assisted into his home. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu sees the knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being badly injured until Allah's Nabi entered the home. Abu Sa'id was around to see what was the condition of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then at the time of Maghrib, the two Sa'adains, Sa'ad bin Mu'adh and Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhum, were helping Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masjid. And then afterwards, at the time of Isha, he finds that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking much better. Among the youth of Madina Munawwara who spent all their time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he intentionally stayed amongst Ahlul Suffah. And now that his father also passed away, he was all the time around the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahal bin Sa'ad al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu. Sahal bin Sa'ad al-Sa'idi, who was the last Sahabi to pass away in Madina Munawwara, He reports that we were very young. Myself, Anna. He says, myself, Abu Dhar Ghifari, Ubada bin As-Samit, Muhammad bin Maslama, Abu Sa'id Khudri, radiallahu anhum. He says, we five and there was one sixth person, who I will not mention, he says. Six of us took bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this pledge of allegiance necessitated that we will not take effect from anyone's blame in Allah's way. We will do what pleases Allah, and if anyone blames us or rebukes us or belittles us for that, we will not bother, and we will still remain firm on the order of Allah. We will remain firm on Allah Ta'ala's order. Then Sahal radiallahu anhu says, the sixth of us actually asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's permission to come out of that bay'ah, of that pledge. So Allah's Nabi took him out of that deal and agreement, because this bay'ah was to get great rewards and ranks before Allah Ta'ala, to remain firm on Allah's deen and in obeying Allah's order. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu was always with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we can notice from the incidents of his beautiful life. That's why he narrates so many ahadith. Ibn al-Athir rahmatullah alayhi in his Usdul Ghaba says, مِن مَشْهُورِ الصَّحَابَ وَفُضَلَائِهِمْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْمُكْثِرِينَ مِنَ الرِّوَايَةِ عَنْهِ. He is among the famous Sahaba and among the virtuous Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he is of those Sahaba who narrated many, many ahadith. Al-Mukthirin, those who narrated more than 1,000 ahadith. And he also says, كَانَ مِنَ الْحُفَّاءِ لحديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was from the Hufad of Hadith and from the great scholars of Medina Munawwara. Rahabi rahmatullah alayhi says, حدث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأكثر وأطاب. Abu Sa'id رضي الله عنه reported a hadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in such a beautiful, wonderful manner. And so abundantly did he report the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allama al-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi says, the hadith of Abu Sa'id رضي الله عنه are 1,170 ahadith. So many ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the barakat of being in Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's company all the time. Ibn al-Athir rahmatullah alayhi says, مِن مَشْهُورِ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَفُضَلَائِهِمْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْمُكْثِرِينَ مِنَ الرِّوَايَةِ عَنْهُ. He is among the famous Sahaba, the virtuous Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and from those who narrated many, many ahadith. Al-Mukthireen are those who narrated more than 1,000 ahadith. Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah reports or says, حدث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأكثر وأطاب. He narrates ahadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in abundance and in such a beautiful manner. Allama al-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi says, the ahadith of Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu are 1,170. 1,170 ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Sahihain, there's 111 ahadith. And in those ahadith of his that are in both Bukhari and Muslim are 43. 16 in Bukhari, 52 in Muslim. But all his ahadith reach the number of 1,170 ahadith. Loved to learn. He was in the masjid all the time. He used that youth that he had and he stayed with Ashab al-Suffa. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he says that he would be from Ashab al-Suffa, and he was very, very patient. And he lived the life with, you know, with abstinence from this world, and he wanted to learn as much as possible. He preferred to bear patience and poverty and chastity and be a student of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَنَحْنُ وَنَاسٌ مِّن ضَعْفَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. We were among the weak Muslims, and we were the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one day Allah's Nabi comes, وَإِنَّ بَعْضَهُمْ لَيَتَوَارَ مِّن بَعْضٍ مِّنَ الْعُرْيِ. And we were sitting in the masjid, and we were, some were actually so poor that they didn't have enough clothes to cover their entire body. Just that little bit they had to cover their aura. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated that, come around, and we made a halqa. And Allah's Nabi said, what were you all rehearsing and revising? So we said that this sahabi is reading for us Quran and we're learning du'as. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, mashallah, fa'udu lima kuntum fi, return to what you all were doing, carry on, you all are doing well. So then Allah's Nabi said, Alhamdulillah, الذي جعل في أمتي من أمرت أن أصبر نفسي معهم. I thank Allah who has made in my ummah such category of people who I am instructed by Allah to be with them and patiently remain in their company. Allah has commanded me to remain in their company. Subhanallah. This hadith is showing the virtue of the poor students of deen, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who sacrificed to be in his company and to learn from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let the poor mu'mineen rejoice that on the day of judgment they will enter Jannat before the rich by a period of 500 years. And those who didn't have, and they were patient and they were happy with Allah, they will not go through a heavy reckoning. Radiallahu anhu had many traits. Amongst his traits was he loved patience and he never asked anyone. He said that one time in my home there was nothing. We had no food. Actually, I had tied a stone to my stomach because of the pangs of hunger. My wife says, go to Allah's Nabi and ask him. People have asked him and he has solved their needs. So and so asked him, Allah's Nabi gave. So and so asked him, Allah's Nabi gave. So my wife was insisting. Then I said to her, no, we still have some basics. I will not go until there is nothing at all. At one time, there was nothing left. So I said, okay, let me now go. Also, it would be that wife and all would have been suffering. So he says, I come to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi was teaching the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And فَأَدْرَكْتُ مِنْ قَوْلِي. I just got in and in the ta'aleem, this was being discussed. مَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِهِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْ يُعِفُّهُ اللَّهِ. Allah's Nabi, as I entered, was discussing this hadith. He who seeks independence from Allah, that he doesn't want to ask from anyone but Allah, Allah will grant him that independence. Allah will enrich him. And he who seeks chastity, Allah will give him chastity. He says, I heard Allah's Nabi say these words. I just got in and this was being discussed in the ta'aleem. After that, I was adamant, I made a determination that I will not ask from anyone but Allah. And he says, Allah blessed me so much, so much. وَمَا زَالَ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُنَا. When I was adamant that I will only ask from Allah, that today there's no one who enjoys more prosperity than my family. This barakat came from his trying hard, turning to Allah Ta'ala and going hard towards his own sustenance, not asking from any creation. Hadith that Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu narrates. One is a report in Sahih Muslim. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu hears from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he says, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَضِرَةٌ, that this world is sweet and green and lush, attractable. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفُكُمْ فِيهَا, Allah has made you His vicegerents on this earth. And Allah wants to test you. فَيَنْظُرُ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ, to see how would your deeds be. Allah's Nabi then says, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءِ, fear Allah Ta'ala regarding your life in this world. Be cautious in your livelihood. Be cautious in your life in this world. فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا, fear just falling into any wrong in this world because it is a test. وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءِ, and more specifically, fear the fitna of women, because the first fitna of Bani Israel was in regards to women. Another report. He says, one night it was very, very late and it was cold and it was dark. وَهَاجَتِ الظُّلْمَ وَالسَّمَاءِ, it was so dark, the sky was pitch black and there was some lightning. So Allah's Nabi sees Qatada bin Nu'man. Now my respected listeners, Qatada bin Nu'man and Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhuma are brothers from the mother, the same mother they had. فَقَالَ لَهُ Qatada. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Qatada bin Nu'man. So Allah's Nabi says, Qatada, are you Qatada? He says, yes, O Nabi of Allah. You've come. Allah's Nabi says, I knew that tonight there'll be very few to come to the masjid because of the severe wind and the rain. I wanted to be of those who participate to get extra blessings. Allah's Nabi says, well then, when Salah completes, come to me. When he completed with Salah, he comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi gives Qatada a stick and says, take this. Allah will give you light. It will give you light in all directions, 10 meters approximately, from all sides around you. So we learn from here, this was a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that happened with the brother of Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu. And we learn something else from there, that we must never miss our salah. Whether it's dark, whether it's light, No matter what conditions, we should be in the masjid. Even on occasions where others would not be able to make it because of difficulty, we should be there. Because on those occasions where the musallis are less because of circumstances, the blessings of Allah Ta'ala are more. Because the attendance is less, those who attended made sacrifice and qurbani, obviously the blessings that they will get is more. There's much more up for grabs when there are much fewer people. And in life it is like that also. There's a good property for sale. There's fewer people to bid. Actually, there's a greater chance of getting a better deal. In the same way, regarding deen, when there's difficulty and still we carry out the order of Allah Ta'ala, there's so much of barakat in it. So whether it's night, whether it's day, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, a Muslim must respond to the command of Allah, to the call of Allah Ta'ala. The hadith states, بَشِّرُ الْمَشَّائِينَ فِي الظُّلَمِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ بِالنُّورِ التَّامِّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give glad tidings to those who walk to the masjid in all conditions. Even if it's dark and pitch black, they still come to the masjid. Such people, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will give them complete celestial light. Nur and light will be given to them on the day of judgment, on the day of difficulty and fear. Beautiful hadith Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu narrates. He says, one day there was a shepherd grazing his flock outside Medina Munawwara. When one wolf comes and devours one sheep, so the flock, the shepherd chases this wolf, and somehow this wolf stops and comes to the shepherd and says, don't you fear Allah? Ala tattaqillah, don't you fear Allah? You want to stop me from sustenance that Allah has given me? The shepherd says, astonishingly, how amazing it is that a wolf sitting on his hinds speaking to me like a human being. The wolf then says, Ala akhbiruka bima huwa a'jab. Let me tell you something more amazing. In the city is the final Nabi of Allah, yad'u an-nas ila amba'i ma qad sabaq, inviting people to Allah, telling people about the previous incidents of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam. This is more amazing. This shepherd hears this, he comes into Medina Munawwara, keeps his flock somewhere in safekeeping, and he enters upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gives him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the whole report of the flock. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sadaqa ra'i, the shepherd has spoken the truth. That this is one of the signs of Qiyamah. That one of the signs of Qiyamah is the time will come where the wild beasts will speak to the human being. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took qasam and said, by that being in whose hand is my life, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يكلم الرجل الشراك نعلي. Qiyamah will not come until even the shoelace of an individual will speak to him. And his whoop will speak to him. Meaning what he holds in his hand, his whoop will speak to him. And even that would inform him of what his family has done in his absence. So this hadith is actually telling us of the coming times, the times of Qiyamah. It's very interesting. Sometimes the hadith have amazing meanings in Balagha, in the depth of the Arabic language. One is it could mean literal, that this would happen miraculously. And the other is it could indicate, there is some possibility that the hadith could indicate that what is in a person's hand would actually tell him what's happening. Meaning a person has left home, after he's gone, he can still find out what's happening at home, what do they need, you know, what should he bring back, what problems are happening, or whatever is happening at home, he gets to know, and that's exactly what is happening today. There's devices that we keep on our thighs and in our hands, through which we converse with the families at home and we get to know exactly what's happening at home. This could be referred to in this beautiful hadith of Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is reported in Majma'u al-Zawa'id, in Musnad Ahmad, in Dalail al-Nubuwa of Asbahani. Beautiful hadith Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then devoted his life in narrating these hadith that he learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he would say to his students, take from us like we have taken from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and memorize it from us like we have memorized it. So say, tahaddathu, narrate hadith to each other. فَإِنَّ الْحَدِيثِ يُذَكِّرُ الْحَدِيثِ. As you rehearse the hadith, it will remind you of many, many hadith. So he would encourage his students to actually make muraja'ah, to rehearse the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he would teach them. welcoming to his students. And he was so humble. The tabi'een and the students of his would come to him and say, Musayyab says, I came to Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, and I said, how fortunate are you that you saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You were in his company. So he says, oh my nephew, but what has happened to us after that? What has happened to us after that? لا تدري ما حدثنا بعده. What we did after that. Obviously he's saying this out of humility. The Sahaba under the chapter of knowledge is reported how Abu Sa'id would be welcoming to his students. When the students of deen would come to Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he would say, marhaba bi wasiyati Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Marhaba bi wasiyati Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome, welcome. Our hearts, our homes are open for you. Allah's Nabi instructed us so. Allah's Nabi instructed us so. You were the bequest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the students of Deen will come to us. In Ibn Majah, the report with a Sahih Sanad from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that Abu Sa'id says that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sayatikum aqwamun yatlubun al-ilm." People will come to you seeking ilm and knowledge. When you see them, say to them, welcome, welcome. Allah's Nabi instructed us so. In the riwayat of Tirmidhi, also a similar hadith, Allah's Nabi says, إِنَّ النَّاسَ لَكُمْ تَبَعٌ وَإِنَّ رِجَالًا يَأْتُونَكُمْ مِنْ أَقْطَارِ الْأَرْضِ يَتَفَقَّهُونَ فِي الدِّينِ فَإِذَا أَتَوْكُمْ فَاسْتَوْصُوا بِهِمْ خَيْرًا. People will follow you, O my Sahaba, and they will come to you from every region on the earth. They will come to learn the deen. When they come to you, treat them in the best of manners. So the students of deen are the actual students of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are actually coming to learn the deen, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they would. Aid radiallahu anhu and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would welcome the students of deen with utmost love. What come in Hayat al-Sahaba? Ibn al-Najjar narrates from Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu that when the students would come and the young boys would come from different countries, Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu would say, welcome, Allah's Nabi has advised us so. Allah's Nabi has told us to be honorable to you, to be kind to you, and nusi'a lahum fil majlis, to open the majlis for them, open the dars for them, and educate them and teach them the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he would say to them, فَإِنَّكُمْ خُلُوفُنَا, you would replace us, you would teach deen after us, وَالْمُحَدِّثُونَ بَعْدَنَا, you would teach mankind after us. And then he would say to them that when I teach you and you do not understand, you must ask me, istafhimni, ask me, I will repeat it for you. Because I rather that you leave here and you have understood the deen. فَإِنَّكَ أَن تَقُومَ وَقَدْ فَهِمْتَهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَن تَقُومَ وَلَمْ تَفْهَمْهُ. Rather that you leave here and you have understood, I don't want you to go without understanding. As tawfiq also, how good should we be, how kind should our treatment be to the students of deen. They have come from so many different countries to learn the deen of Allah Ta'ala. They have sacrificed, they have gone out of their way, sacrificed the company of their families, of their parents, of their loved ones, and they have come to learn deen. Really, we should take the students of deen to heart, and we should show them love and show them honor, and we will be able to win their du'as. Every student comes with so many sacrifices. So amazing to actually find out the background of our students. We find that they come from so much, so difficult background, so much of sacrifices. Some of them, their parents were former priests. They were the only people who embraced Islam from their families. They've come to learn deen. And so many different backgrounds. Some come from luxurious homes, but they come and they sacrifice and they want to learn the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Definitely, we should give them the best treatment because they have come and they are the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aspect Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu teaches us of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, one day I came to meet the Nabi of Allah. I sought permission to enter. I was standing in front of the door. Allah's Nabi said, do not ask permission while standing facing the door. That's a beautiful etiquette for all of us, my respected listeners. When visiting people, stand on the one side, stand on the right hand side, so it's easy for the person. Knock politely, knock. After a few minutes, wait for a few minutes, then knock the second time, then wait for a few minutes, then knock the third time. And in that, if this person comes out, he can see us, but we will not be able to see what's happening inside the house. This is the etiquette. Our deen teaches us even how to knock the door. to such an extent that Deen teaches us when we are asked, who is it? We should not say me, ana. Who is me? How would this person be able to recognize who me is, who I am? Meaning, we should mention the name with which this person knows us. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu teaches us the etiquettes of seeking permission for entry. Also, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he called for Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. So Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu came, he knocked 3 times. After some time, Umar didn't open, so he had left. So Umar radiallahu anhu recalled Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari and said, why did you do such a thing? He says, no, this proof for this, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this is how it should be done. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu got worried now, because Umar said, you bring proof for this, otherwise I will take you to task. Anyway, when he comes to the gathering of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when he says, this is the predicament I'm in, do you all know this hadith? They said, yes, yes. And Ubay bin Ka'ab says, the youngest of us should go, you know, to bear testimony before Umar radiallahu anhu, because it is a famous hadith. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu got up and he bore testimony there by Umar radiallahu anhu that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this, that we seek permission, we knock the door 3 times, meaning not 3 knocks, meaning knock after a few minutes, knock the second time, after a few minutes, knock the 3rd time. Then Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu lived such a beautiful life. Before he left this world, he called his son. He says, don't make it a big thing when I leave this world. I'm old now. I'm going to be going. Don't make fire come along with me to the graveyard. Don't cry over me. Don't hurt anybody. Take me quickly to my abode. And he showed him in Baqi', this is where you bury me. He passed away on Friday. And he told me to actually don't make it such a big thing. So I completed his ghusl and so forth. And I made arrangements to take him for his janazah. And Baqi' was filled with people to attend. Even before he left this world, he called for the senior sahaba, Abdullah bin Umar, Anas bin Malik, Jabir radiallahu anhu, who was still there. And he says to them that, don't listen to my son. I want you all to bury me in this kafan of mine. I used to make my tahajjud, my salah, and my dhikr in this. Bury me in this kafan of mine. And then he said to them the same thing. And when he passed away, you know, he was taken and he was buried. The senior sahaba radiallahu anhum also were there, who were left in the world at that time. But at that time, there were not many, many sahaba radiallahu anhum left. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu passed away in the year 74 Hijri. Medina was shocked on the demise of this great Sahabi. It was a Friday and Medina Munawwara and the Ummah lost this great scholar and this great Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the lives of the beautiful Sahaba, their amazing lives radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The 3 quotes for this Sahabi. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّي بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ